encourage you to come back and be with us at every opportunity that you may have. I am not the regular preacher here, but Tim Sutton is, and he's out of town on vacation and something not working. I hadn't clicked. It's supposed to be black.
Switch back and then back.
It's all right. Back screen.
Nothing. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Good to have somebody know something about computers. As I say, we're glad that you are here visiting with us today. Invite you to come back. Be with us at every opportunity that you have. As I said, Brother Sutton is out of town on vacation today and this coming week. And so you get a stand-in today, a substitute for Tim. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to our study together this morning. Hope it will be beneficial. As you can tell, the title of our study has to do with Builders for God. When we start thinking about building, everyone is some kind of a builder. In the passage that was read as our lesson text a little while ago in Matthew the 7th chapter, and the example that the Lord gave concerning the two builders, one was a wise builder, and one was a foolish builder. The wise builder was the one that followed and obeyed the commands of the Lord. It was able to stand against the tests of time and the storms because it was founded upon a rock. The foolish builder was one who heard the instructions of God, but was unwilling to obey them and follow them. And his house then would be built upon sand. And it would fall when the tests and the trials came upon it because it was not willing to obey the commands of the Lord. And so everyone is some kind of a builder. They're the wise builders or they're foolish builders. A good or faulty building depends a lot on how that building is built. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, he writes, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." How one builds, what one selects as materials, what he's going to build, all of those various things become very important, and it becomes imperative that he be one who takes heed, pays close attention to that which he is going to build. We can look around us for all kinds of illustrations concerning builders. We look in the realm of nature. We see birds as they build their nests. They build them sometime in places we don't want them to build. We knock them down, we get them out of the way. But all kinds of nests for different kinds of birds, as you look around and study and see them, and yet each time they're able to build this nest and they are perfect for what they are intended to be. The beaver builds dams to back up streams so it can have its place to build its pod that it lives in, that sort of thing. They build them so well that man has to come in and use dynamite to get them out of the way. But they are built perfectly for what they are intended. Bees and making their honey and working the honeycomb, it's beautiful to see, and they are very effective builders. The spider, as it weaves its web, we see it sometimes in the morning with dew draped upon it, and we marvel at its beauty and the symmetric design that is within it. And we see that it is something that it is able to do, both to provide catching insects for it to eat, as well as a place for it to abide. Now, all of these are builders in some sense or a way in nature. Their products are perfect for what their purpose is intended. Why is that? Why is what they build perfect for their purpose? Well, it is because God created them that way. He gave them the ability to instinctively build what He has put within their being to build, whether it's a web or whether it's a nest or whether it's a dam or a honeycomb, whatever it be, they build it perfectly according to the instructions that God has implanted within them. But then there is man as a builder. And when we begin to think about that, we understand that he is a builder because the others are lower forms of life. And man is different. He's created differently. He is created in the image of God. God has made him different from the other builders that we've mentioned in the animal kingdom, in that God has given man the ability to think, to reason, to make choices, to will whether he's going to or not do something. And so these are things that we see that are different concerning the man and his building in this life. He's commanded to build well, but man may choose not to build well. He may even choose not to learn how to build or what to build. He may choose to use faulty material. These are all left up man to use according to his choice as how he is going to build in whatever area he is going to build. He has to decide whether he's going to do it right or whether he's going to do it in a slipshod manner or whatever he may do or not do it at all. Man, as a builder, builds materially, we build morally, and we build spiritually in this life. When you come to think about the material things that man has built, it's a wonder at the things that man has been able to build. We think of the pyramids in Egypt and the great work that and design that went into building those pyramids. We look at our great cities and the skyscrapers and the thing that would line the skyline and how man can build those different kinds of buildings in such an effective manner. Canals have been built in different places through mountains and jungles for man to be able to travel and to move. The great highways they lay out across our nation are something to behold as they funnel the traffic to the various places of the world. Man is able to design and to make those. We think about the airplanes, the jet planes that man has been able to make, the spaceships, those that go into space to the moon and back and are now servicing our space station, which goes around the earth every few hours now. And so we see that man is able to build all of these things. Building well materially, or when we're building well, maybe when it comes to our morals, or spiritually means we're going to have to build according to the ability that God has given us to build. We follow God's instructions. We listen to His admonitions. We must be willing to closely follow exactly the instructions of God. We may choose to build what God does not will. We may choose to build something that's against the will of God. We may choose to build of our own wisdom, what we think is best and what we think is good, rather than God when it comes to building and morals and spiritual matters. So we need to understand that we can refuse to learn how to build something. We can refuse to work diligently. Man can be in such a way that the facility that he's building is faulty. It is not good. It will not stand the test. It will have problems all along because he refused to work diligently and refused to learn and to do it in a proper and right manner. Let me show you what I mean about being a good builder and what it takes in the eyes of God to be a good builder. Look at some that are in the Bible that you are familiar with. We go to Noah in Genesis, the 6th chapter, and the building of the ark. The ark was perfect for its purpose. God gave Noah the instructions as what to be done and to build it, and it floated. And the storm didn't sink it. And it housed its cargo for almost a full year. Why is that? Why was it capable of fulfilling that work? Well, Noah built according to God's plans. Noah didn't try to improve on them. He didn't try to add to them or to take away from them. But he was one that built according to God's plans. In verse 22 of chapter 6, we're told Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's why the ark floated for over a year. That's why it fulfilled its purpose of sustaining life of Noah and his family and the animals that were on the ark. He built it according to God's instructions. We think of Moses as being a builder, the builder of the tabernacle, as they was traveling through the wilderness. The tabernacle was elaborate, and it was perfect for the purpose for which it was intended to be built. It represented God's presence in the camp. It could be moved when they traveled. And so it had to be a very special thing, this tabernacle. The camp was set up with all of the other tribes surrounding this tabernacle. And so when God gave Moses the instructions of how to build the ark, he built well. In Exodus 40 and verse 16, we're told, "Thus did Moses according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he." And so we see that he was one who built according to God's instructions. Both Noah and Moses are commended for their building of what God told them to build. Jesus is a builder, an example of a builder in the Scriptures. He was one who was going to build the church. He said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church." So Jesus is classified as a builder. His project was to build the church of our Lord. It was not a material structure that was to be built. It was a spiritual structure. It is a spiritual building, if you will, that Jesus was sent to build by his heavenly Father. In 1 Peter the 2nd chapter in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In Acts 2 and verse 47, when the new Christians in Jerusalem, we're told that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily that should be saved. Jesus was building a church. It was a called out body. It was his body. It was a called out assembly, a special assembly. It was made up of individuals who were willing to become a member of the Lord's body through the instructions that he would give. The church is referred to, therefore, as his body in Colossians, the 1st chapter, and in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. And then a few verses earlier, he had pointed out that the church is also a kingdom. Who hath directed us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Over and over we see that the church that Jesus was to build is referred to as his body, as his kingdom. And it's also referred to as his assembly. In Hebrews the 12th chapter and verse 23, "The general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." Well, why would Jesus want to build this church? What would be its purpose? Why would he want to fulfill this need of building the church? Well, he tells us at least three different times, almost one right after the other, as to why it was to be built. He said in John 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. God sent him to do the work. Then in the next chapter, in chapter 5 and verse 30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. In the next chapter, he says again in verse 38, For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The church, as built by Christ and revealed in the New Testament, is perfect. It is from the mind of God. And Jesus came to this earth to build this which came from the mind of God, this body, this assembly, this kingdom that belongs to the Lord. And so Jesus was to build it. Human wisdom cannot improve on it, no more than Noah could improve on the instructions to how to build the ark, or Moses could improve upon the instructions to how to build the tabernacle, or how a bird can improve upon how to build a nest. All of these, human wisdom cannot improve upon the things that God's way has decreed as they should be. Now, we see examples of builders. We see good builders, why they were able to accomplish what they accomplished, and why they could be pleasing in the sight of God. But how does that apply to us today? How does that apply to us as builders? In other words, what are we to build? What is God expecting us as His children to build? And when we build it, how are we going to go about it? What are we going to use? Those various things become very important. When it comes to building and material areas, we can build whatever God wills and has given man the ability to do. Man is capable of building us a house. He can build a car. He can build an airplane. He can build furniture. He can build a lot of different things. Whatever man has the ability to do, and God's will is according to God's will, he can build it. Somebody years ago asked President Eisenhower when they were talking about going to the moon. He says, what if God doesn't want man to go to the moon? He said, well, then we won't go. It's just that simple. And so it's important that man builds according to what God gives him the ability to do so. You know, we marvel at man's accomplishments in space science, in medicine, computers. You carry a computer now the size of a wristwatch. Can do just about everything that your desk computer or laptop can do, and you got it on your arm. How do they do that? But you know what I know about that? All of it is based upon laws that God has instituted in this universe. And they are all made or created from materials that God created. Did you hear the story about the atheist that challenged God about building man or making mankind another man? And God said, fine, you start. And the man knelt down and began to get the dirt together. God said, wait a minute, that's my dirt. I made that dirt. You make your own. That meant he had to make something out of nothing. And so he was stopped right there. The idea is that what man builds materially, it's all within the laws that God, whether it's mathematical laws, science laws, whatever it may be, it's in the laws that God has revealed unto man. And man uses the materials that God has created that are found upon the face of this earth. And therefore, whatever man builds materially, God has supplied what is needful for him to do so. But when it comes to building morally, spiritually, and religiously, what can we build? What about our morals? What about our spirituality, our relationship with God? What about what we practice religiously in the name of religion, of binding ourselves to God again? What are we to build in those areas? We can only build what God authorizes. Our moral standard by which we live is based upon instructions that we find in the pages of God's will. It has to do with our thoughts. It has to do with whether we dress modestly or immodestly. It has to do with our speech. It has to do with a lot of actions that we may can or cannot participate in. But what are we building morally? Are we building morally to please ourselves and those around us, or to build to please God? Only God, what God authorizes, can we build. As free moral agents, we can choose to build what we desire. We can choose to build an immoral life. We can choose to build a life that's not dedicated to worshiping God and living according to the principles that are found in the Scriptures. We can decide that we will desire to build another religion, practice something else other than what's found in the Scriptures. But when we do that, we're choosing to do something or build something that God has not authorized. What are some unauthorized buildings that man can get caught up in? First would be idolatry. God told the children of Israel in Exodus, the 20th chapter, that they were not to build or create any graven images. And they were not to bow down and to worship it in any way. Now man can do that, and we read all through the New Testament where there were groups of people, and even God's people at time, made themselves idols and worshiped those idols, and this was not acceptable unto God. This was unauthorized. You think of Aaron and the golden calf. They decided to build that. That was not according to God's instructions. That was an unauthorized idol that built in a piece of worship that should not have been followed by man. Unauthorized buildings then include idols and human religious orders. The only order or organization that we find in the New Testament that is for its purpose of worshiping and serving God is the church. When man organizes some kind of fraternal organization, when man organizes some other type of religious organization and tries to carry out the work of God through those organizations, they are building something that is unauthorized. It is not pleasing in the sight of God. Jesus said in Matthew, the 15th chapter, in verse 13, the plants that my Father have not planted will be rooted up. And so when we begin to think that we're going to worship and serve God, or here's an organization that recognizes God and it's going to do some works in the name of the Lord, the name of Christ, that's an unauthorized building. It's not found in the Scriptures. We must be careful about those things that we engage in, that we begin to become a part of. Strange things are unauthorized building. You remember Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, who offered strange fire to worship God, to burn incense, but they got fire from the wrong place. They didn't get it from where God had ordained, from the tabernacle or temple. And as a result of that, God caused them to be burned up. They were destroyed. They were building something that was strange, that was not according to God's law. When man begins to authorize sprinkling as a mode of baptism in the place of burial, then we find that they are building something that is unauthorized religiously. When they introduce instruments of music as a means to assist or even to worship God with, that was something that was unauthorized in God's word. They did it because they liked it. It sounded good to them. They just wanted to do it. Those are the kind of builders that are dangerous, that lead us away from God's word, that are not willing to build according to the plan and the instructions that we find in God's will. And so we need to be careful about building things that are unauthorized by God. It is important for us to be able to follow them and obey God. Well, how do we do that? Well, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, we're told, "Let every man take heed how he buildeth." If we're going to build successfully, we're going to have to be aware of what and how we build. First of all, if we're going to build properly in God's sight, we've got to use the pattern that God gives. In Colossians 3 and in verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." 2 John 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." We must use only God's pattern to do those things that He has told us that we are to do. Whether it is He's laid out a pattern of how we are to live within our families, how we are to fulfill our various roles there. He's told us how we are to serve Him in the kingdom, the roles that can be fulfilled there and the work that can be done there. We must follow Him. But there must be a good foundation that's laid. Anyone who has been building any buildings will tell you that the foundation is an important part of that building. That it must be strong, that it must be the proper kind of building. As we read in our lesson text, the one that built on the rock stood the test and trials. The one that built upon the sand collapsed and failed and was not able to stand the trials. And so when we're building for God, we need to make sure that we are laying the proper foundation, that we don't turn to manuals and disciplines and catechisms of men as the foundation to build upon religiously. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 10, we're told, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In other words, any foundation in the name of religion, or in any area that ignores Christ, that ignores His teachings, and follows man's plan of human wisdom and man's desires, is doomed. It will be rejected by God and will not be accepted. You have to use good material if you're building for God. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Wealth, fame, pride, worldly pleasures are but the wood and hay and stubble, material that's not enduring, material that will not stand, material that is not the kind of material that will build a sound service to the Lord's kingdom. This is a new clicker. Got to remember which arrow means what. It's supposed to be simpler than the other one, and I think it is. I just hadn't caught on to it yet. Wednesday night, Brother Binkley mentioned about the importance of teaching and preparing ourselves to teach. That's an important part of building. If we're going to build up the church at Somerville Road, we're going to have to be willing to put forth an effort to do so. It becomes important that if we're going to build up the Lord's body here, that we're going to have to make contact with people who need to be coming, with people who are not members of the Lord's church and need to hear the good news. But not only do we need to be teaching, but we need to be encouraging and building up, understanding our own personal responsibility to fulfill our responsibility to help build the church here. Being absent at times of worship period just for our own pleasure is not going to build up the church. Acting and conducting ourselves in such a way when we're out in the world that's against the teachings of the Lord is not going to build the church up. We have to be a bright and shining light in our daily lives that bring glory and honor to God. We have to be willing to worship and serve and work in the Lord's kingdom diligently, using the materials that He has given us, if we're going to grow and if we're going to build the work at Somerville Road and help it to be what it can be. What are you building? With what are you building? What's your attitude toward building? How are you building the church? Is it just something that is casual, that is just something that you participate in when it's convenient? Or are you willing to sacrifice things to come and worship the Lord? Are you willing to sacrifice things to obey His will in all areas? Are you even building? Are you letting someone else do the building and the Lord's work? The Lord expects us all to be builders. Some may have more ability to do so than others. But whatever our ability is in working in the Lord's kingdom, it must be diligent according to God's instructions, a willingness to serve and to work. Are you a builder? Are you building for something in some way? Builders for God will follow His blueprint. Not what everybody else is doing. Not what's popular. Not what's fashionable. But what God's Word instructs us. And so, only builders from God will follow His blueprint. Will follow what we find in the New Testament. We'll find it how to conduct ourselves and to be diligent servants in the Lord's kingdom. We will make sure that we're using His materials, those things that He tells us that will help us to grow and to mature and to serve and be what God would have us to be. You know, I wonder, do we use His materials? Are we? Are we using the materials of the world? Materials of selfishness. Materials of pride. And laziness. Are we willing to use the material and ability that God has given us to be able to give it our all so that we can build acceptably? Are you following His blueprint? Are you using the materials that He's given you to use? Are you striving to build acceptably unto God or just to be counted present? There's a difference. Are you building for God? Are you building for self? To please self rather than to please God? We're all workers in the kingdom. We're to all to be busy building and serving in the Lord's kingdom. It is imperative that we understand the importance of serving God. Throughout the New Testament, in the parables of the Lord, the teachings and writings of the apostles, the lazy and slothful servant is condemned. And the servant who labors and works to the best of his ability, willing to even sacrifice for the cause of the Lord, is the one that is praised. And God says that He will reward. You may not even be in the Lord's kingdom, in His body. You may not have ever obeyed the gospel, become a child of God to have your sins washed away. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of your sins, confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk a new life, a child of God, and begin a life of service. Working in His kingdom, a servant, the that brings glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. Maybe you've fallen by the wayside. You've become unfaithful. You've stopped working. Or your work has become slothful and lazy and not dedicated. It's brought reproach on the body of Christ. You need to repent of that, confessing your sin, and pray to God for forgiveness while yet there's time and opportunity. If you're here this morning and you need to respond, we pray that you'll do so while together we stand and sing.